Hi, I'm Helen Wong from the University of Buffalo, the State University of New York. So I'm from communication, and for this part of the project, I worked with two wonderful PhD students in the Department of Geography, Michael Reinsey Jr. and Susan Kum. Susan is here with us today. So I'm really excited to share with you some of the findings from this project called East Lowes High. And like others, I don't have any disclosures to make, no conflict of interest or financial disclosures. So by 2020, a quarter of all the teens in the United States will be Latino. And right now, 4 in 10 Latino teens become pregnant, twice the national average. They're also avid consumers of digital entertainment media. And so what I'm presenting here is a program called East Lowes High. This is a program that was designed purposefully to promote safe sex and preventing pregnancy among Latino youths. And the story was situated in an underprivileged area in East Los Angeles, in a high school. That's why it's called East Lowes High. And the characters struggled with difficult decisions, facing trust and betrayal, health and abuse, life and death, and undertook different actions. There are some unique features about this project. First one is, this is actually the very first English show in American history that used all Latino cast to address issues within the Latino community. The second one is, it took in the form of a transmedia program. So instead of telling the same story on different media platforms, we used an online teen drama, which was presented as an Hulu original series, launched in the summer of 2013. So this was the cornerstone of the project, the program. And then another 9, what we call transmedia extensions. You know, for example, there can be a V-block, a video block around the main character, or you know, dance tutorials, cooking demonstrations, and online newspapers at the high school. So the idea is, you're telling a story, you're creating a narrative world across multiple digital platforms. And so that will be more enriching in terms of the narrative experience and engage a more diverse population and lower the threshold for entry, for participation. So this is the very first one, actually, to be using the transmedia storytelling format for health promotion, as far as we know. Now, if you think of commercial projects, you might be familiar with Matrix, you know, Star Wars, but this is the very first one really purposely designed for health promotion. And the third aspect is I'm coming from a background of entertainment education using entertainment media to promote health issues and social issues. And there's a known methodology called the Sabido methodology, and it's typically used for radio and television soap operas in developing countries, whereas East Lowes High is a modern adaptation of the Sabido methodology and designed to be used at media-saturated environments like the United States and for youth who are, you know, consuming entertainment media online all the time. So what we did was a very comprehensive, multi-phase, multi-method program evaluation. This is a collaboration between my institution and also the University of Texas in El Paso with Professor Arvin Singal. We're both co-leading the program evaluation. The evaluation, you know, is a complex design that consisted of a viewer survey, audience engagement and health outcomes, an experiment on the effectiveness of this format of transmedia storytelling, a social media content and network analysis, and our NGO partner widget tracking. What I'll be presenting here is the findings from our Google Analytics geo-tracking, really trying to highlight the healthography theme at APHA this year. So what we do here is we were able to conduct analysis at 3 levels. So at the global level, and then at the national level across all the states, and also at the city level within the state of California. And for each of the 3 levels, we exported the raw data from Google Analytics as separate files on a weekly basis within a 9-month period. then reformatted them to be compatible with the GIS software. And in GIS, a shapefile is the digital representation of the geographic boundaries. And we used the shapefile from the UN for the global level visualization, and the shapefile from the US Census for the national level visualization, and then the geographic coordinates of all populated places in California for the city level visualization. And we joined the attribute data from Google Analytics, which we measured. We have data on the number of visits, a number of unique visitors, and the duration, and also page views. Especially for the purpose of the visualizations I will show you today, we'll focus on the number of visitors. So we sort of joined the attribute data from Google Analytics, the number of visitors, with the shapefile, which is the geographic data, using the method of matched names of countries, states, and cities. So what I'm showing right now is a spatial temporal dynamic visualization at the global level. So overall, in nine months, the program's website attracted over 200,000 visitors from over 120,000 unique visitors, with over 850,000 page views and an average duration of 9 minutes and 21 seconds. And what we found out here is, even though the program was really designed and targeted the U.S. population, you know, Latino youth in the United States, we were really encouraged and surprised to find out that despite all the firewalls and the firewalls and the bans in many other countries, the program actually attracted visitors from another 163 countries in the world. And then we also were able to look into the specifics in terms of the number of visitors from different states. And of course, the story was situated in East Los High, so you would expect a lot of visitors would be coming from California. But at the same time, if you see over time, and again, this is showing weekly sort of transitions from the beginning of the program and then over a 9 month period, we were able to identify the number of visitors at different states over time. So the color, the shade here shows you the number of visitors. And of course, the darker it gets, the more visitors are coming from that state, visiting the East Los High website and checking out the information on there, where they actually provide the full episodes after the original premiere on Hulu, as well as all the 9 transmedia extensions. Everything is available there, and including actually our partner, Planned Parenthood, the widget on the website. There's a comprehensive resource website. And at the same time, if we were to look closely at some of the states, it's very interesting to actually see, we're very happy to observe that the higher proportions of number of visitors are coming from the states with higher Hispanic populations or higher Hispanic share of the population and also higher number of teen pregnancies. But if we only had limited resources to improve this campaign, there's also the second group where we, based on 2 most recent reports on teen pregnancies, especially among Latinos, you know, there are a number of states where you have higher Hispanic population growth or Hispanic teen pregnancy rate, and increase in teen pregnancy rate, birth rate, and abortion rate. And as you can see, if we wanted to expand our program and the reach, we could very well target these states as well, and we were able to discover this using the Google Analytics geo-tracking data. And at the city level, so this is in California, we were able to use 2-dimensional and 3-dimensional visualizations to look at the patterns. So again, you can identify some of the hotspots. So even though at the state level, you look at, you know, California is all purple. There's a lot of people coming from California, but it's not necessarily equal from, you know, different geographic regions. So overall, the idea is, you know, we were telling a sort of a local story. This was based on the poor neighborhood with a lot of socioeconomic and health, public health challenges. Yet, we were able to effectively address very complex issues of national concerns and have a global reach. And so the results are very, very encouraging, and the conclusions at this stage is basically entertainment and media coupled with digital technologies can effectively deliver social and health messages and especially engage large scales of audience over time. And entertainment education programs like Islo's High hold great potential to address sexual and reproductive health issues among young and minority groups. And so with that, I conclude my presentation, and I wanted to acknowledge my colleagues both at UB and at the University of Texas, and also our partners at Prashna and the Alchemist and the Population Media Center as well. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for sticking with your time so that we have some opportunity to talk amongst ourselves. I want to just acknowledge that you said that the average views, Helen, were about 9 minutes per tape, which is about the length of an average APHA presentation, which is quite a bit, which if those many of you work with teenagers, that's a really enormous length of attention span. So I was very impressed with that. But I think that this session really focused on a wide variety of programs using a wide variety of approaches, digital approaches, face-to-face approaches, both at the individual level, as in Milwaukee, at the party level in Michigan, social media use, video use, community partners as well. And I want us to not forget about sort of an approach that's typically used in other nations, perhaps less used here, that one-on-one community outreach worker approach. And so really it's, for those of us doing interventions in this area, I think a fabulous smorgasbord, if you will, of approaches. So I want to just open it up for questions. We actually have lots of time, and maybe at the very end, Leslie can show her her recruitment video for those of you who want to stay and take a look at it. So questions, comments, yes. Do you have any follow-up thoughts or suggestions or comments on that? Okay. Any of the rest of our interventionists have thoughts or experiences in that area? I think it's unique in terms of being a rapid response to an immediate problem as opposed to the more, you know, typical let's prevent this and prevent that puts it in a little bit different position. Yes.
In terms of what we're doing in this case, I mean, this is an experimental design efficacy trial, right? So whether people click on an ad in the digital space or in the website, it doesn't really matter. They'll do eligibility, they'll consent, they will get randomized into one of the two arms. They're going to answer surveys immediately after that intervention, 10 days out, 30 days out, 6 months out. I talked about the behavioral outcomes that we're looking at. In our particular case, the intervention does have a real person on the other end of that chat or text who's trained and interacts, and it's a relatively long back and forth. The average length is about 11 minutes. Some of that is people doing other things, you know, but it's not a two-minute thing. You're absolutely right that there are a lot of other uses of chat and text as a modality. So this is quite different than, say, text programs that have that are just automated to send to people and generally give one message. So this is a two-way kind of thing versus a one-way. How do you sort out this versus everything else? You use a true experimental design, right? And so you randomize and you assume that that's the main difference between those groups. And certainly we have some other questions in there just to see what else people may have done, right? Have they also talked to their parents? Have they talked to providers other than the folks they came in with? This is certainly not the only use of digital that Planned Parenthood has. We mentioned the website. We do use a lot of social media. We have a set of digital tools that are, you know. But in terms of this particular thing, I think the important thing is that not all uses of that technology look exactly the same.
Thank you. Yes, in the back.
Sure.
Sure.
Responding, and I imagine, you know, in wanting to both have a tailored interaction with someone who's asking a question, yet preserve consistency in that messaging to ensure the research is essentially consistent and that your the messaging is not very even widely or even that much among responses to individual questions.
Yes. So it's a great question about sort of the agents, their training, and sort of what are they working from so that you have a relatively consistent and high-quality experience. So a couple of things to note. This is another way that our program may be different than some others. We actually train folks who are not necessarily educators. Quite a few of them are pursuing some kind of education related to health, but we wanted something that was scalable and relatively inexpensive, and so we take sort of a lot of different kinds of folks, and they do get training, but more in some ways, just as importantly, they're working from a data bank of, it's about 900 active messages that are, you know, very carefully constructed and vetted, mostly by Jennifer Johnson, who's sitting right here. And so mainly they are using a back-end system where they can call up those messages, and while they have some leeway to do some customizing, and we do ask them to do that because lots of people ask, are you a computer or are you a robot? They want to know that there's a real person on the other end. But on the other hand, we, are very careful about making sure that the information is accurate and also that we really hold the line between sort of education and a clinical interaction. The truth is what everybody wants is for us to tell them if they're pregnant or not. Now there may come a day where, you know, someone will be able to pee on their phone and send it to us and we can just tell them. But we're not there yet, and so we do a lot of having to sort of, you know, but anyway, so hopefully that answers your question. I would say the most challenging thing working, I think, with sort of lay people, if you will, and training them versus health educators is that educators get very good at the question behind the question. A lot of times people are not leading with their main concern. And when you have chat and text, you can't see it. Right. When you're doing a one-on-one interaction, you can tell if somebody's hemming and hawing and that's maybe not it and you ask. It's much harder to do that in the digital environment. So, but we right away just, we give them a lot of canned messages like, you know, is there anything more, is there anything more about that?
I'm thinking, Leslie, of an article I read about the tyranny of the bubble. You know, the when you text with somebody and they're writing back, and you see the little bubble that says that they're writing, and it takes a long time, and then the bubble disappears, and they haven't answered you. And
yeah.
So maybe you can get some data from the length of time of the bubbles and how long it takes them to write their next question. So, yes.